Let's see, where's that big lake here?
There's the lake.
All right, there. We come right over the lake, and we hit. It was about in there. It was about where the old roadhouse was.
That's right near Birch Lake. Yeah. Birch Creek, I mean.
Birch Creek. Well, it was on Birch Creek, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This creek, I think we were about to... It wasn't very far. It was 6 miles, I believe, above this creek where the old road... No, it wasn't that far. It was somewhere along just about in there. It was where the old roadhouse was. And then we followed up like this, up around through here, and cut out. We followed the flats all the way.
There's a flat
here.
Place across. Yeah. You crossed this Quartz Creek?
Yes. Yes. I tell you about a mile and a half below Quartz Creek here was where the old jump-off roadhouse was.
There was a roadhouse located there.
Yes.
Called the jump-off.
Yes, the jump-off roadhouse. Mm-hmm. The first one was up here. It was a 17-mile. Right about here.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old building standing there now. The road runs right in front of an old building. Well, that is the barn of the 17-mile roadhouse. See, this looks like a 17-mile slough in there.
We saw that building when we come here.
Yeah.
I don't know if I got pictures of it or not.
You go around a great big slough and then you make a crossing on Birch. It's about 2 miles or so from that crossing on the present crossing of Birch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's an old cabin sitting in there. That is the barn for this roadhouse on 17 miles. And then the next one was Jump Off. And then the next one was, Jump Off, and then the next one was Central.
Central?
Mm-hmm.
Central's located right down.
No, it'll be over here. Wait a minute.
Here it is, right here.
Yeah.
Central's right here.
Yeah.
Now that's on the.
That's on the present road now.
That's on Crooked Creek.
Yeah, that's on Crooked Creek. Yeah.
Yeah, and Boulder Creek, Graveyard Creek runs into Crooked Creek.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. See the outlet, and I'll show you where the outlet of, here's the outlet of Cricket Creek. No, that's Medicine Lake. You see this map? I was looking for an old circle map. This is not good at all. That's Quartz Creek. That's somewhere along in there was where the jump off was. Then we had a roadhouse at one time at Albert Creek. That's the first creek below Central.
Mm-hmm.
There was a roadhouse in there.
Mm-hmm. You remember the name of that roadhouse?
Well, it's just called Albert Creek Roadhouse.
Albert Creek Roadhouse. You don't know who overrun it by name.
Yes, I know. It was run by two or three different people, but the last one was Lynn, Sam Lynn.
Sam Lynn.
Mm-hmm. Sam Lynn, he had a sawmill there.
He ran a sawmill and a roadhouse.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And I don't remember who built the place. It was operated by two or three different people, but only for just a short time. But Lynn was the last one that was there.
Well, Frank, then from there on in, the trail come on down.
Well, then it came to Central, and then the old original trail. Well, the first 3 miles out of Central, it was right over close to Crooked Creek. It's changed there. This present road is out around.
Yeah, it's moved away. I can see it is here on the map. From Central to Miller House, it's moved over from Crooked Creek.
Yeah, it's moved over. The old road, it's not too far away from most. Right there when they went out from Central, it was a different road from what we have here. No, it was down close to the creek. It followed along close to the creek and up at Boulder Creek, down a little inside of Boulder Creek. Well, that road, that creek shows, it followed pretty close there. And then generally along till it got up, it followed close to the creek all the way up to my present road. There at 7 miles below, Sopet Creek, it was through the timber for a long ways before we even got to Sopet Creek.
Here it is,
Sopet,
right here. Mm-hmm.
And now it continued along close to the creek, clear up. Well, pretty much, you're right close to the creek, clear up to this place.
You crossed Bedrock Creek also.
Across Bedrock Creek, about
Mr. Miller has to stop to wait on the customer for a few minutes for gasoline. And we'll continue a little later in the story.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mrs. Miller, will you say a word on here for us?
Well, I haven't got anything to say.
That's it. Now, this is continuing on Mr. Miller's story of the old trail, and we're leaving Miller Roadhouse now.
Well, is that supposed to be the summer trail or winter trail?
The old trail, the original horse trail.
Well, the original horse trail went down through the flats in the winter, but of course the summer travel was always by the hills. You couldn't go down.
That's the one you want, over the hills.
Yes. Well, from here it followed up Miller Creek, Main Miller Creek.
Here's your change, sir.
Right to the head.
Thank you.
Then down on the Miller Fork of Eagle, the crossing is about perhaps a quarter of a mile to a half a mile. It would be to the east of the present road on Eagle Summit, across Major Summit.
I think we saw that trail up on the hill.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, well, then we went down the Miller Fork of Eagle to Eagle Creek, down Eagle Creek, and followed along Birch to 12 miles. Then we followed up from the left limit of 12 miles, practically all the way up to the head of 12 mile. We followed the head of 12 mile right up to the summit.
Mm-hmm. Here's the summit now.
And then over the summit.
This looks like the marking of the old trail right here now.
Yes, it is.
That's the marking of the old trail?
Yes, there's the marking of the old trail from the 12 mile on. Mm-hmm. It shows there following the tops of the hills.
Mm-hmm.
See, and then we hit right close to Coffee Dome, at the head of Fairbanks Creek. Can you find Coffee Dome? No, it doesn't show that.
No, it don't show Coffee Dome, but it shows Pool Creek is the next creek.
Well, Pool Creek. You cut down there on the ridge. You cut down right close to the mouth of Pool Creek.
Mm-hmm.
You cross Pool Creek and then swung back up on top of the ridge again.
Yeah, up along Smith Creek.
That's right, around the head of Smith Creek.
Mm-hmm.
We follow Smith Creek. That's down there at the... It comes in right close to
Third Pup?
Smith Creek flows north. The head of it is pretty nearly opposite 56 mm-hmm. on the present road.
Mm-hmm. That it would be about in there.
And Smith Creek empties into the McManus about three quarters of a mile above the mouth of Face Creek.
Mm-hmm. That's right here, too.
Yeah. Well, then we followed the ridges clear into to Coffee Dome. We swung around Coffee Dome down into Eva Creek. No, it wasn't Eva Creek. What is that? Alder Creek.
Alder Creek
on Fairbanks Creek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The foot trail went down to Fairbanks Creek, and then, of course, from the Fairbanks Creek back over the hill and clear summit to get to Fairbanks.
And then you hit, where do you hit Twin Buttes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this trail comes down in here.
Well, that must be, one of them must be.
It's the headwaters of the Little Chena is up in there, too.
Well, it didn't go that way.
Oh, no, it didn't go that far. Twin Butte. I remember Twin Butte, but I don't remember where it was. It wasn't on our road. That Coffee Dome was the mark that they hit far on the ridge, you know, going into Fairbanks Creek. We swung around to the right, to the left, to going in to Alder Creek, I think, was the creek we went down into Fairbanks Creek.
Well, Chena Dome is probably about 10 or 15 miles away.
Yes, we were out way off from Chena Dome.
Yeah, Coffee Dome ain't marked, but Chena Dome is.
Yeah, well, Frank, thank you very much for telling us about the old trail. Would you give us briefly, the story of the gold discovery here in this locality here?
Yes, I can tell you a few facts about it. Of course, I wasn't here at the time, but I got it firsthand from the man that did the original staking, the few facts that I know. Tom Edmonds, an old country Welshman, he told me that you wouldn't want to start of what caused the stampede, would you?
Well, I think that'd be interesting. You told me about those two Indians, one of them.
Yes, well, it seemed to be started from Deacon McDonald. He was an English missionary that was on the Peel River for 35 years. And he sent out from England. And his history, of course, he married an Indian woman and had a family. And finally he was called back to England, or went back to England after he finished his missionary work. But he was at Fort Yukon. I don't know what, I don't recall the year, but he met the two Indians there that had a good showing of gold. And of course he wasn't too curious, but he asked about it, and as nearly as he could remember, and after years after information was gleaned from him, but it was somewhere around 50 miles south of Fort Yukon, where they'd found this gold. Well, that news got into the 40-mile country. That was settled in there, the principal settlement was 1885. And they were all prospectors. That was the business in there. They were all bar prospectors, really, snipers at that time.
Yeah, about 1 minute.
Well, in 1893, there was 13 of them, according to Tom story to me. He was one of the original bunts that left 40 Mile in the spring of 1893, looking for this place where the Indians had found their gold. And they drifted down the Yukon from the 40 Mile and landed about 16 miles above where Circle is now, and followed the foothills out to Birch. They sawed lumber there and built boats and worked up Birch Creek to Pitka Bar, and that was where most of them figured that these Indians would get the gold.
Frank, excuse me, these two Indians you speak of, you recall their names?
Yes, one was Pitka and the other Zareski. Zareski was the husband, the first husband of Mrs. Callahan, old Mrs. Callahan.
That's Dan Callahan's wife,
right,
later.
Dan,
yes.
Callahan's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Zareski is the father of... was the father of Mrs. Rasmussen, Nels Rasmussen, afterwards, Nels Rasmussen married her, and then her children is Marcia Leary's wife, Walter Jewell's wife, and what's the other one living in
Fairbanks? About
30
seconds.
Well, Harry, maybe we would have cut it off and just
finish it up.
Well, I can't think of all the girls, but they're the offspring of Mrs. Callahan.
Yeah.
By her first husband.
Well, this is actually what brought the first stampede in this area.
Yes, that's right. But there's another tale now. Chris Harrington was one of the first stakers. He staked number one below Discovery on Mastodon Creek. Jack Gerger and Pat Kennelly made the discovery. That bunch, it goes ties into this story. That fall, of course, they only brought a small amount.
That's part of the story.
There were men who they discovered here, of course. They came up, they worked up as far as Pitka Bar, and then there were six, I believe, of the original bunch that went back and wintered at Birch Creek. At that time, it was supposed to be right across the old trailman. There is about maybe 9 or 10 miles from where Circle is located now.
What year was this?
That was in 1893.
93, yeah.
They went there in the winter of 93 and 94, and then the following spring, they worked back up the river to Harrison Creek. They took the bar at the mouth of Harrison Creek. And then they worked up Harrison Creek and over to the summit of these creeks. Here. And there, they separated there. Two stayed down in the Penance Creek, and two went up into Laston Creek, and two was to come down here on Mammoth Street. It was not named at that time, but you see where the creeks are positioned. And there, there's agreement was that the first one that discovered any shore of gold or anything like that, a good prospect, they would build a fire and make a smoke so the others would know in this particular section. And all of these discoveries on these three creeks were made at the same, practically the same day. But Pat Kennelly and Jack Gregor were the first to find a prospect on Masterton Creek.
And that started the stampede in this particular section. That was in 1894. In July, I think it was, 1894. I think that is the reason that this Independence Church was named Independence. And at that time, you know, under the miner's law, a man is entitled to one claim on each creek. And that is the reason why these creeks here, every short creek is named differently. There's no one creek that you know the length. So they could get a claim on each creek. And from then on, well, of course, that as soon as the news got out, well, that started the stampede in here in 1894. And these creeks around here were staked in 1894 and 95. Deadwood Creek was staked in 94. I think the Eagle Creek, all of these creeks right in this immediate vicinity were staked in 1894 and 95, the spring of 95.
Well,
and that started the stampede.
Down through the years, approximately, would you have any idea of how many... millions of dollars was taken out of this locality.
I haven't. The least I couldn't even guess that.
No, but there was no
record that was kept for years, you know, until the government came in with the courts and so forth.
Yeah.
But it was all miners' law. And at one time, you know, Circle was called the biggest log cabin city in the world. They figured from 8,000 to 10,000 people there. And it seemed like when the Dawson strike was made, it took 3-4 years before the people in this country really believed about, you know, Dawson strike. And it, of course, they kept dribbling away the people that had, and the men that had trading marines in here. They had no reason to leave them. And the ones that were loose and had nothing, well, they were the first stampedes and kept drawing away from Circle until long about, oh, maybe 1900. From there on, I'd begin to go down awful fast because the truth, you know, got to him in a second. And it cleaned the circle. It is out.
Yeah, well, Frank, it's been very kind of you to give this information to the pioneers of Alaska here at Fairbanks and through the Tanana Valley Historical Society, which will keep these records down through the years.
Somebody might call me a lawyer. You can't tell, no.
One can use these tapes to injure another person. There's laws governing that, Mr. Miller.
Oh, yeah, well, that's all right.
Yeah,
they have to be
authenticated, and they can't twist the truth. The facts have to be checked before they're rewritten and transcribed for use.
Well, I'll tell you another guy, and you know, Chris Harrington. He was one of the original stakers that I treated there. You know, he staked one more discovery. The discoverers were allowed two claims, a 1,000-foot claim. Jack and Taft got the 1,000-foot claim, and then Harrington got the first claim below discovery. Well, Harrington was never fully satisfied about this, you know. He was curious, and he started to write to Deacon McDonald, and it took him 3 years. And finally, by golly, he located him. He was still alive in England, and he got a letter from this deacon, and he told him the information as much as he could about it, But Chris was never satisfied. For some reason, he always had an idea that it could be over in the Crazy Hills. And usually here along about the 1st of July, we'd have a dry spell for a couple of weeks. That's usual. And Chris had saddled up his old pack horse and all alone. He never took anybody with him. He didn't want anybody to go. He'd go over there and stay till the rain started again, looking in those crazy mountains. For some reason, you know, he never could make up his mind that they'd found the right spot where this gruel came from. Although it's a known fact that it's been pretty good values at the mouth of Harrison. That was named Titkabara.
Frank, this Harrington you speak of that was here in the very early days, that wasn't the same old George Harrington that was around Fairbanks there, was it?
Well, George Harrington had ground on... Maston Creek. No, that was a different Harrington.
Oh,
no relation
no.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
George had a million mark.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for giving you this information to us. And
I hope it does you some good.
This topographical map that we're using for reference to try to get some details in regard to the old trail was road classification map. of U.S. Geological Survey, Federal Center, Denver, Colorado, Washington, D.C. It is a contour interval at 200 feet, areas surveyed, detail indicated by broken lines, and datum as mean sea level. I don't find a number on this map, but it says topographical 1941 to 47 compiled. And 1903 to 1908 sources supplemented, it says here. Universal Traverse, Mercator, M-E-R-C-A-T-O-R, projection, zone 6, astronomical datum. That's taken from the solar census when they set up the survey. And that...
I got one of those old maps somewhere. Real old maps the person put off here, you know, it shows the luxury of the trails and so forth, much clearer than these. These have been copies from the old map. No joke about that.
Well, this is Andrew Wicken, Frank Young, moderator, and Harry Hughes recording for Pioneer Igloo 4, Fairbanks, Alaska. And we thank you, Mr. Miller, and millions until you're better paid.
Well, it would be nice to know. It would be nice to surround us.
This is Harry Hughes. Mr. and Mrs. Miller just took us back here and showed us the old original bunkhouse built by Fritz Miller and is still in operation today. They still have beds available in here where a person can sleep in the original cabin at Miller Roadhouse.
Built in 1896.
That's Frank Young. And Mrs. Miller, we sure thank you for your help.
$2 a bed.
$2 a bed, just like in olden days. This is, we're getting ready to leave Miller House. And Mr. and Mrs. Miller have shown us all around this old historical place, which is one of the last surviving roadhouses in the interior of Alaska. We are leaving here to start down the road to 82 Mile to the Road Commission camp to have coffee. This is Andy Young and Harry Hughes and Andy Wicken. Frank Young and Harry Hughes, and we're on our way. And it's starting to rain a little bit, so we might have a little water on this trip.
This is, we've left Miller House and are on our way down the highway now. We're down at, that was mile 114 approximately, and we're down to mile 87 approximately, the location of a previous roadhouse. Frank, will you tell us about this roadhouse?
Well, this is, we're down here now at the old 12-mile roadhouse that was built in the early days of this trail. I don't recall whether fellow by the name of Reed, I think, built it originally, but there was a woman by the name of Gertie Smith that run it later on, and then it changed hands several times and finally burnt down. And all that's left of the old place today is just a few odds and ends kicking around. You'd never known that it was one of the old historic roadhouses or the Circle Trail built here. And grass has grown up and the weeds. And unless a person really knew where it was, we'd have drove right on by and never noticed it.
I think that it would be a good thing for this memorandum here that this be a future monument put here to mark these historical facts and individuals that created the early life of Alaska. We'll move on now to the Road Commission camp next at 82 Mile, I believe.
Well, we stopped at 82 Mile at the Road Commission camp, and we had coffee and visited with a couple of pioneer Alaskans. Frank, what do you want to say about what we had at 82 Mile?
Well, the cook up there, I will say that he's a good cook, and he sure treated us cordially there, and we enjoyed the nice cake that he gave us and a good cup of coffee. It was raining and cold, and after reminiscing there for about 15 or 20 minutes, we finally got on our way and took on the slippery road we've been going over in the heavy rain, and we finally arrived at Nick Kupoff's place down on Discovery Claim Pedro.
Nick, what do you got to say about it?
Well, I welcome you guys.
And you made coffee for us. We're having sandwiches here.
We
brought you your dessert.
Yeah, you got your own sandwiches.
But you don't think you'll buy any stock in our gold mine?
No, No, I'm past that edge.
Okay, Nick, we're almost home, so I'll stop here and we'll make a final report on the tape when we get home.
Well, we finally arrived at back home at Fairbanks, and I've just taken Frank Young to his home and brought Andy Wicken over to his home, and I've unloaded the car with all the historical things that we picked up at the Henry Appel homestead, and we've had a wet trip, the last part of the trip here. Now, this tape was taken in a number of places where there's background noises by a number of people passing in and out. These people doing business have to be interrupted because they still have to make a living. So, if you'll tolerate the noise in this tape and ignore it, I believe that we have some very valuable information on this tape on this little two-day trip. And I hope that very soon we can set up some system of transcribing and writing this into history before it's lost. And this is Harry Hughes, Igloo 4, Fairbanks, Alaska. And I will close off this part of the story.